Let us pray. Holy One, it is with gratitude that we come together this morning. And we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together might find their full acceptance before you. For we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. It is good to be with you and a privilege to be with you again. And just to say, even though I recognize recently that it's been over 12 years since I left Regent Park and the CRC, but I have fond memories of the contribution and accompaniment of the folks here from Rosedale in the time I served in Regent Park. So a belated thank you again for all your efforts on behalf of the CRC and the people in Regent Park. I've been asked to reflect a little bit about shift happening and from the context of where I live in the General Counsel office and also in terms of what personal kind of supports helped me to live into that shift. I must say I've been in the General Counsel for 12 years and the norm is change. I don't know what it would be like to be in a context where change isn't part of that tradition. And one of the things that helps me in that space is a statement from Paul Ricoeur, the French philosopher, who says, in order to change a person's behavior, you must first change their imagination. And so for me, imagination plays a significant part in my ability to cope with change. And I recognize that often the struggle against change is a struggle that's rooted in the lack of imagination. If you followed the kind of experience in the United Church in the last couple of years, the comprehensive review that was done in order to kind of think about how the United Church may be different was a place of imagining. It imagined the possibility of a new way of being church together. I think the folks who went to General Council in 2015 in Newfoundland lost courage and couldn't imagine as far as the comprehensive review wanted us to. So our inability to imagine possibilities sometimes limits our ability to actually engage and embrace the change that happened. One of the most significant change in my life personally happened around 2001. I was the senior minister of one of the significant Baptist churches here in Toronto, not too far from here in the annex. I had gone through a three-year period of crisis working through some personal issues. And I knew that to resolve that issue meant the end of everything that I held dear. I knew that the resolution of the struggle in my life meant that I would no longer be minister of this prestigious church with all its history. I knew that it would meant the end of my marriage and the end of a certain kind of relationship with my children. And I could not imagine the possibility beyond that space. But it became unbearable to live with what I was experiencing. And so somehow I found the courage to make the choice that I needed to make the change in my life. And invariably, when I think about that, everything I thought that was going to happen happened. My marriage ended. I got kicked out of the church. I was unemployed. I was in a place where I could not imagine that there would be something beyond what my circumstances was. 18 years later, I want to tell you that I misread the possibilities. And so one of the things that frame my own personal sense of dealing with change is the recognition that if I can imagine another possibility, it gives me the energy to cope. And so I'm struck in our text this morning because Nathanael is invited to come and see Jesus. And so I want to take you on a bit of a journey with me in the next few minutes. And I want to take you to Jakarta in Indonesia. And I want to introduce you to the Reverend Dr. Stephen Solomon. Stephen is the professor at Jakarta Theological Seminary in Jakarta. And for 20 years, Stephen has been teaching the students that come through his classes to understand and appreciate the life and experience of people who identify as gay or lesbian or transgender. For 20 years, Stephen has labored, seeing practically nothing changing. But Stephen had an imagining of a society where gays and lesbians and transgender persons would be accepted, not just in the society as a whole, but in the church community. So, today, if you were to go to Jakarta, irony of ironies, there is a Baptist church in the city of Jakarta that is the first open and affirming church that welcomes and celebrates gays and lesbians. And that's a direct outcome of the ministry of Stephen Solomon. He had a vision. He could imagine something different. And because he could imagine something different, he worked at it, worked at it, worked at it, and today he's beginning to see the fruit. Now, I want to tell you, Stephen is a straight man. The pastor of the church in Jakarta is a straight man. But young people and old people are flocking to the church because they've finally found a place where they are affirmed and belong. There are a couple of mosques in Indonesia that are also welcoming and affirming because Stephen imagined a new possibility. In fact, a few years ago, the Indonesian government decided to tighten its rules against gays and lesbians. And surprise, surprise, the Council of Churches in Indonesia sent a letter to the government and said, you can't do that. Why? Every leader of the denominations on the Council of Churches in Indonesia were students of Stephen Solomon. Stephen imagined a world and a place where gays and lesbians could find belonging. And he worked at it, seeing very little fruit initially. But because he stayed at it, transformation is happening in Indonesia. Come with me and see in Ethiopia. Engineer Gebreyesus is an Ethiopian who for years struggled with the fact that the rainfall in Ethiopia took away land to the point where farmers were not able to feed their family. And Ethiopia is, for years, Ethiopia has been on the edge of food insecurity. And you know, there was a time when there was the great famine in Ethiopia, and it continues. Engineer Gebreyesus imagined a space and a place where life could be grown among rocks and desert. And so, in his imagination, he came up with a system. I still don't quite understand it. It's a system of channels so that when the rain comes down the mountain, the water is diverted into these little channels, and it leaves behind silt, the earth. And you go and you see in the middle of this enormous space, which is rocks, this green, lush space. Because he's found a way, he's imagined a possibility of using the soil with a mechanical, the science of it is beyond me. But he designed this thing to capture the silt and to grow plants. And so in this particular area, and Engineer Gebreyesus, this is the thing, interesting thing, Engineer Gebreyesus is Christian, and the area where he's working predominantly is a Muslim area. And to see the Muslim community saying, we trust the Christian community to help take care of us more than any other community, because he understood, he had a vision, he had an imagination to see what was possible. Final story. I want to take you to South Africa, and I want to introduce you to Frank Chikane, who is just now the former General Secretary of the South African Council of Churches. And as you know, South Africa has gone through a period of enormous transformation. And in fact, things haven't necessarily, although apartheid has ended, things haven't necessarily gotten any better. And in fact, South Africa is in an incredible crisis at the moment. Young women are being raped and dismembered. Children as young as 6 months are being raped. Folks who are fleeing from Zimbabwe or the DRC or Malawi find themselves in South Africa and find themselves the victims of enormous violence. Frank Chikane and the South African Council of Churches decided in one of their annual meeting to put to the table a vote of non-confidence in the government. Here, it wouldn't be any big deal for us. We would be kind of just blowing off steam and air. In the South African context, that put a fear in the government, which led to a change in the president of the country. And the political party, the ANC, is still very much afraid of the churches in South Africa. So the new president met with the South African Council of Churches recently to say, are you prepared to lift the vote of non-confidence? And the churches have said to him, not until we see some changes. So recently, the South African government found $16 million to begin to address the issue of the gender-based violence in South Africa. Frank Chikane, as a leader of the South African Council of Churches, imagined a world, imagined a community where life could be different. And so used his imagination in the context of what he knew to say, something got to give, and went to the government and did this. We are only limited in our ability to embrace change by our lack of imagination. And I would just want to say to you this morning, come and see. See what's possible. Open your eyes to the possibility. The church has not yet, the United Church of Canada has not yet found its sweet spot. We are still in the process of change and will be in the process of change. But the thing that will sustain us, the thing that will give us hope, is our experience of knowing that God is faithful. It's our understanding and appreciation that we have the possibility to imagine new ways of being as the church and as the people of God. And it will be because we're able to come and see what others have done and are doing to embrace the challenges of change in their context, and to know that there is a better world that is possible. May God give us courage to do so.